is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, on the earth.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live. Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator.
Well, on the earth.
Good day, tokers and tokettes. Welcome. It is Friday, March 23rd, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We got a full studio here today. Say hello, everybody.
Hello.
We got Ganja John on the end. Wiz Kaliko's hanging out. Cannabis Carrie here in the studio. Brian the Bed hanging out on the side. Megan Dabs on the couch. Ganja Bro on the couch. Oh, my God. It's a full house. Thank you all for being here.
Packed.
Good time.
Glad to be here. We're so lively.
That's right. We're going to start off today's show with a little bit of hemp headlines. So, Cannabis Carrie, what are we looking forward to in the news today?
Well, unfortunately, I have to tell you about a raid that happened in Southern California yesterday. Also, I'm going to go to New Mexico and inform you about a candidate who's running there. And also, we've got some Jeremy Lin news as well for the sports fans.
More crazy Linsanity. All right, we'll get to that. Plus, I'm going to take a look at bail in Alabama and some pretty shocking statistics out of Alabama. Plus, the story of an 11-year-old girl who refused to pee test in order to join the school orchestra. We'll tell you about that and the ACLU's lawsuit. Coming up at 20 after, we got Herb Thrasher calling in. He'll be bringing us the Rockin' Friday music. This time we're going to do a little hellbilly music from Dixie Witch, so stay tuned for that. At half past, we're going to talk to Danny Danko in our Cultivator's Corner. We'll be talking to him at his home in Brooklyn, New York, and getting your live questions to him at 971-533-7111. Or you can ask him in the chat room any questions you got on marijuana cultivation. He is the guy to ask. He'll also be previewing the upcoming High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver, Colorado, April 21st and 22nd. We'll be bringing you live coverage right here at live.normal.org. Then, at the end of the show, time for a little bit of a radical rant. A new white paper came out from the National Work Rights Institute on the reliability of federally certified drug testing labs. Guess what we found? Yeah, that's right. Not as reliable as the feds would like you to believe. All that and more is coming up tonight on Normal Show Live. Also, we'll take it into Hour 2 with Toker Talk Radio. We got a full studio, so I'm sure that we will have plenty to talk about. So stick around. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. You can check out our blog at stash.normal.org, where we have our WePay account up there. Please donate. Help us get to $4,200 by 420. We'll talk about more of that later on. Stick around.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
A candidate running for the New Mexico State Senate this year is no stranger to cannabis issues. Charles Roundtree is the owner of a New Mexico business called Grassroots X. He is one of only 25 registered growers in the state as a provider of medical marijuana, and now he's a proud candidate for the New Mexico Senate. The 53-year-old doesn't mention his marijuana business on the Webb State for his campaign, but he does write in detail about his support of industrial hemp, specifically Santhica, a variety that is almost completely free of THC. On his campaign website, he writes, "The parachute that saved George Bush Sr.'s life in World War II was made of hemp. The land in New Mexico will support hemp farming. Every part of the hemp plant has a useful purpose, such as nutritional products, food insulation, textiles, and biofuel." A hemp bill that he liked last year never made it out of committee, which is one of the reasons the would-be politician has decided to run for office. Roundtree will be running as a Democrat for New Mexico Senate District 4. He has two opponents in the June primary elections, the incumbent Democrat, Senator George Munoz, and Genevieve Jackson, who is currently a McKinley County Commissioner. Other than industrial hemp, Roundtree's platform includes paying teachers more, health care and job opportunities for vets, and he promises to be an advocate for human rights. And he also promises to take these fights, including his fight for industrial hemp, all the way to the White House. The Department of Health closely guards the names of the 25 providers in the state's medical marijuana program, and Roundtree hasn't wanted to talk to the media about his status in the New Mexico marijuana program, but he does list his occupation as alternative medicine. We wish him well.
Oh, that's a great story there, and this is something that we've been saying for a long time, is that we have to have more of our people running for office. We actually have to get the people that understand what that marijuana is medicine in the positions of power here to make these policies that will benefit all of us. I mean, when you really think about how little our legislators know about marijuana, the truth about cannabis. I mean, I see these letters come back day after day. And by the way, you should be writing your legislators. And if you haven't already, you can go to Normal's Take Action Center. Just go to normal.org. There's a big green box on the side of the website. Click where it says ACT, and then you'll find our Take Action Center. You can find out how to write your legislator and tell them how you feel about marijuana prohibition, that it should be ended. And you should see the responses we get back, because when you write to your legislator, if they write you back, like if it's an email or if you can scan their letter, you can send it to us here at stash@normal.org, and we keep them cataloged. We keep a reference of all of these responses we get back from these legislators, and it's really interesting to find out how much of them are pretty much the same copied form letter to one extent or another, and how much ignorance is still brought up by some of these legislators. I mean, we had Senator Mitch McConnell the other day telling a constituent that marijuana had to remain illegal because of its chance of killing people, right? So, I mean, that's the level of ignorance we're working with. And until we start getting involved in doing something to change it, those people will continue to make our laws.
A raid in Temecula, Southern California yesterday by federal agents netted 19 pounds of marijuana and about 117 pounds of medibles, marijuana-laced foods. Agents wearing the black DEA jackets served a search warrant early yesterday morning at the Temecula Cooperative Patient Services. Authorities also confiscated about 50 marijuana plants. Federal documents of the raid said that the federal agents believed that the dispensary was selling marijuana to the general public for profit. In coordination with the Temecula Cooperative Patient Services, A warrant was also served at a property that dispensary founder Douglas Lamphere listed as an address. Lamphere was not home at the time of the raids and in fact says that he had resigned from his leadership role in the collective and is now only a member. He also has moved from the area and now lives in Oregon. The operators of that dispensary have been embroiled in a lawsuit with the city of Temecula over the county's ban on marijuana dispensaries. Not a surprise there. And no arrests were made. Again, pretty typical of these types of raids, Russ.
Yeah, that's typical, you know, smash and grab operations is what we call them here. The cops just want to come in and mess up your business enough that you can't continue. They're not actually going to press charges because they've realized that once they start hauling this into court, a lot of documents become public record, a lot of their tactics and their intimidation become headline news stories. And you got that terrible sight of medical marijuana patients all packing the courtrooms and outside with their signs, you know, stop arresting us. And it just doesn't make for very good headlines for the police departments. Now they've figured it out now. Go in, smash it up a little bit, ruin their business, put them financially behind the eight ball, but don't ever charge anyone. Don't charge anyone. Just mess up the business and basically you get what you want to do. In other third world countries, we would call this, this would be brutality. This would be just uncalled for. This would be something we would not stand for. We would be crying out against it in any other country if they were using their police in this way against their own citizens involved in what is allegedly something legal to do in California under Prop 215 and SB 420. Every time we have to report on these, it just blows my mind that they would want to go against this. They would want to try to make this the crime. You know, having medical marijuana in a place where people can sample many different strains of it and engage in a financial transaction, you know, two willing adults here trying to get medicine to one another, that would be what we want to be a crime. We want to put that underground. We want to give criminals control of that. Let's put that back in the parking lots. Let's put that back in the back alleys. It just doesn't make any sense.
And New York Nets breakout star this year, Jeremy Lin, has almost created an industry over the puns based on his name. But his legal team isn't very happy with the strain of marijuana being sold in California dispensaries labeled Linsanity. Jeremy Lin's legal team has sent out a storm of cease and desist letters to medical marijuana dispensaries that offer the newly named strain Linsanity. Many shops have already pulled the strain, or at least the name of it anyway. The Washington, D.C. law firm that represents Jeremy Lin said the enthusiasm for Jeremy Lin just got ahead of the marijuana sellers' understanding of the law. One of the dispensaries that pulled a strain off the shelves last week when they received their letter said that the letter was also asking them for a written apology, something that they hadn't got around to doing just yet.
Well, we reported earlier, too, how they had trademarked Linsanity, so this is just a typical kind of trademark case. But the side of it that gets me is this idea that somehow strain breeders were working in their labs to put together this new strain called Linsanity. No, they just took a strain they already had that wasn't selling so well. They slapped Linsanity on it. They jacked the price up, and then they tried to sell it to you. I'm sorry, what's that?
$60 an eighth is how much Linsanity cost in a Los Angeles dispensary.
Just like that Charlie Sheen weed.
There you go.
Exactly.
Probably the same strain.
Yeah, same
probably.
Thing. Oh, the Charlie Sheen's not selling so well. Let's change the name. Now it's Linsanity. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on here. And Normal's always been a consumer rights organization. We always stand up for the marijuana consumer. And practices like these by unscrupulous sellers that are just trying to, ride the bandwagon of Jeremy Lin here in the New York Knicks and try to, profit off of that, especially when it's supposed to be medicine and we're supposed to be getting this to sick people. So much for the compassion. All right, I have another story here that I wanted to get to featuring. This is really amazing here. Alabama, the state of Alabama, I got an email from Loretta Nall, who's a fantastic activist there in Alabama. And this is from the Anniston Star, a story that was called Why Bail for Drug Offenses Tends to Be Higher Than That for Graver Crimes. Here's the story. Drug offenders don't just make bail bondsmen uneasy. They make law enforcement agencies and court officials wary, too. Alabama is one of many states in which their respective Supreme Courts have set their recommended maximum bail higher for drug offenders than for any other type of crime. Up to $150,000 bail for drug manufacturing, a.k.a. growing a pot plant in your closet. A Class A felony, in comparison, has maximum bail set at $60,000. That's $60,000. And non-capital murder maximum is set at $75,000. Now, when asked about this, Calhoun County District Judge Manon Bankson said, quote, "The reasoning behind it is not so much that it's higher than other crimes, it's just trying to get them off the streets. It's something law enforcement sees all the time," according to Calhoun County Sheriff Larry Amerson. "But even more important than keeping drug offenders off the street," Amerson said, "is keeping the offenders away from the cause of the problem." Well, I hope my friends in Alabama are sleeping better at night now. Alabama finds it twice as important to keep a drug offender off the streets than a murderer, or almost three times as important as keeping a kidnapper, rapist, burglar, wife beater, or arsonist off the streets. Oh, my God. And one other story here, this one coming from the U.S. Yes, the ACLU, Quarryville, Pennsylvania. We've talked about drug testing on the show many times, and in this case, we're talking about drug testing at a middle school. WHTM reporting on this in Quarryville, Pennsylvania. An 11-year-old girl is suing the Solanco School District in Lancaster County over a policy that requires random drug testing of students in extracurricular activities. By the way, Lancaster County, that's like central Pennsylvania, Amish country, Penn State area, kind of very, you know, conservative kind of area. The American Civil Liberties Union of Pennsylvania said it filed the lawsuit Wednesday on behalf of the Swift Middle School sixth grader and her parents. The lawsuit says the Peach Bottom girl was removed from orchestra and chorus at the beginning of the school year, and she cannot join any athletic or academic teams because she and her parents refused to consent to the drug testing policy. The girl's father, Christopher McDougal, said, quote, "We refused to sign the forms, so on her first day of orchestra, she was on her way to rehearsal. She was told by the principal she was not allowed to be in the orchestra," end quote. The ACLU said it believes the policy violated a 2003 Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruling that requires schools to justify suspicionless drug testing programs with evidence of widespread drug problems among the students. Yeah, the 11-year-olds. The 11-year-olds at the middle school who are joining the orchestra. You know, you got to stay away from the oboe players, man. You know those oboe players. They get you hooked. The next thing you know, you're doing some violin. You're doing some viola. You're moving up to cello. Before you know it, you're standing there with the double bass. It's a gateway drug, I'm telling you. This just really burns me because my first experience with playing music, and which has been a love of my life, was as an 11-year-old playing orchestra string bass. And to think that I might have been denied that opportunity, my life would have gone in a completely different arc had I not been a part of that school orchestra. And does anybody even really think through these things? All right, let's say that we've got a kid who may have been exposed to drug activity, and maybe they even tried some. So now, let's make sure they can't participate in any of the extracurricular activities that have been shown to keep kids off drugs. Let's make sure that the kid that's experimenting with drugs can't fill up their spare time with athletics, academics, art, music, or other extracurricular activities. Let's make sure that they have plenty of free time on their hands and they feel ostracized and isolated so that the only fun activity they can turn to is more drugs. I also wonder whether that school is testing for alcohol. If not, what a great way to get kids to recognize the reality that the one mind-altering drug that society tolerates and allows you to use while continuing your work and recreational activities is alcohol. Don't smoke that joint, Sally. You'll be kicked out of the band. Here, try this wine cooler instead. They don't test for that. Nobody really thinks through these things. All right, and to conclude the news here, we just want to give you some heads up on some of the travels and activities that are taking place here with Normal Show Live and the Normal Network. First of all, wanted to let you know that we have a WePay donation page. You can go to stash.normal.org, and on the right-hand side, we've got our the WePay donation box. You can click that and donate any amount that you choose. We're trying to get that up to $4,200 to help cover travel expenses for the crew. We're trying to get Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John and Wiz Calico out to a lot of these different gigs, and that requires airplane flights and other expenses. So help us cover that. Go to our page, stash.normal.org. Carrie, you do all of this pledge drive stuff. What else can we say?
Really, all we just need to do is ask. I've learned that. Just ask people out of the goodness of their hearts to flip a few bucks our way.
Yeah.
And the more you ask, the more people are reminded, and a few people are inspired to go over and hit that PayPal button. I love the democracy of the internet, and often independent artists or other websites that I like that have a little donate here. I have no problem giving you $2 or $3. You just need enough people to get together to give that $2 or $3 to make a difference. So that's what we're hoping with the podcast and the downloads, that enough people will get together that want to throw $4 or $5 our way.
Yes,
and
please do
we'll
that.
Throw it all together, and then we will travel and we will bring you these great events streaming.
That's right.
There you go. So please donate now.
What do you think about a break while they donate?
While you're donating, we'll take a break and count our money.
That's right after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
I failed as a parent. I swore the day my son was born, he would appreciate stoner comedy.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, it's Friday. That means get your horns up. It's time for Herb Thrasher here on your Rockin' Friday. How you doing, Herb?
All right, man, doing great. Starting to feel like spring, finally.
Yep, doing great, although not doing so great in our brackets.
What?
Our March.
Is there a sport going on right now? Is there something happening? I gave that up, dude. What sport are you talking about?
The first and second round was enough for you, huh?
Dude, man, my team went out the very first day.
Yeah.
And so once that happened, it was like, man, I mean, I don't even think I've looked at my bracket since.
Yeah,
I did have to look to make sure and see if Rolla J is in last place still.
Rolla J is still in last place, yes. You're not far behind. Kaliko's. You're tied,
I know.
Tied with Kaliko right now. I'm tied for eighth at Normal Network, but Danny P is in first, and Denton Ramsey, Dean Schwag, is in second right now. So looking good on the old brackets there for them.
Yep, good job for them, man. This is just unbelievable tough year right here. Anyone who's sitting in the top five in any bracket this year has done great.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, we talk about sports on Normal Rock Sports, so check that out tonight. Normal Rocks is coming on tonight, 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern, and it's a two-hour show, so we got a lot of rock music, rock videos, and rock talk. So no politics. It's all let your hair down, have some fun, throw your horns up, and rock out. And that's part of what we're doing right here with Rockin' Friday. So tell folks what you got for them.
That's right. Actually, tonight on Normal Rocks, we have a pretty huge show lined up. Bobby Black from High Times is going to call in, and we're going to chat with him. And he's had a big week last week. In Austin, Texas, was South by Southwest.
Sure.
And it's pretty much one of the premier music events in the country these days. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of bands go there. And High Times had a party, and High on Fire headlined it, and just other bands and other stuff. And so he's going to call in. We're going to talk about all that. And at the same time, High Times had the Doobie Awards. And the winners was just announced on Sunday. And so we're going to talk about the Doobie Awards, go through all the categories, and see who the winners are. And also tonight with Lion Eyes, who is one of the nominees and one of the winners. Lion Eyes won the best stoner rock category.
Oh, good.
And so we're going to air a couple of videos that we shot when they came to Portland, and we're going to play the interview. So it's just going to be an all-night Doobie kind of awards show, and that leads us into the Rockin' Friday song. This band right here, Dixie Witch, they were nominated for Best Stoner Rock Artist. And so Lion Eyes whooped them up a little bit, but it doesn't mean anything on their skills. And this song really, it's not really, I can see where you would say some hellbilly, but this is more what you get when Southern Rock and Stoner Rock made whoopee.
Yeah, that's so, a good way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, this is what happened. So formed in 1999, Dixie Witch has established themselves as one of the seminal Texas power trios. Led by the Thunderous Rhythm section, Dixie Witch draws from their sound a Southern rock tradition of ZZ Top and the Fabulous Thunderbirds, but takes their music into far heavier and swampy areas. Extensive touring with the likes of, and here's Russ's favorite band title, Alabama Thunder Pussy.
Oh, yeah.
And Suplex brought Dixie Witch to the attention of Detroit's Small Stone Records, who released 2003's follow-up One Bird, Two Stones. A third album, Smoke and Mirrors, was released in 2006, followed by more touring, including the group for the first exposure to Europe. A new chapter of Dixie Witch is about to begin with their new album, Let It Roll. Let It Roll is a Dixie Witch firing on all cylinders. 10 tight tracks of rock built upon the classic dual and rhythm section and vocals fans love to know. If Let It Rock, if Let It Roll is any indication of where they're headed, it might become changed. The old saying, you don't mess with Texas, you mess with Dixie Witch. So Let It Roll all day long with Normal Show Live and Dixie Witch. You guys can find them on MySpace. And they also go to their record label, Small Stone Records, which they've been huge supporters of Normal and Normal Rocks and what we're doing. And I encourage anyone to support these artists, especially from certain record labels like Small Stone. But you can find all about Dixie Witch there. And rock out. We'll see you tonight on Normal Rock.
All right, this is Dixie Witch. Let It Roll.
Changing me, but my family love. the Venice Boardwalk, a club where members can, with a doctor's okay, buy medical marijuana.
Sean cursed that Hugh Hefner.
It was like a slap in their face.
Break. Stomp.
We want to go through all the steps and show you how intense it is to own a dispensary.
Are you videotape that?
There were doctors' wards in Venice Beach. It got nasty.
The bigger it got, I guess, the more risky it got.
No, my picture's right here.
Look at you, kid. You're on the taper.
The LA Times front page.
Sean's a visionary, and he's a little ahead of himself, but, you know, so is I.
Hash Bar TV, the ultimate Cheech and Chong joint.
Pretty soon those doctor's offices were just sprouting up, too, all along the boardwalk.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. Normal even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. Normal, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. Normal is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org, that's N-O-R-M-L.org, or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
Support legalizing and taxing marijuana use.
I think it's time for debate.
Normal show live.
And I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana and other drugs.
Marijuana Nation.
I saw him hanging there afterwards, a celebration party after the Mr. Olympia, smoking a joint. Did he really smoke a joint? And did he in fact inhale? Saying I'm in need of change.
Mary, quite contrary. How does her garden grow? Don't ask me. I'm just the voiceover guy. Ask High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Dango in our Normal Show Live's Cultivators Corner.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. 34 after the hour, we got Danny Dango on the line from New York. How you doing, Danny?
Good. Thanks for having me again, Russ. It's great.
Yeah, glad to have you here. We're hanging out with a full studio, so say hi to Carrie and John and Coleco and everybody else.
Nice. Hi, guys.
What's up, Ben?
Nice. Hi, Danny.
Hey, Danny, we wanted to get you on here because, of course, coming up here in just a few weeks is the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver. Tell folks about it.
Wow. Yeah, we're really excited. The event is the 21st and the 22nd of April. We basically, you know, they always have a really huge 420 celebration in Denver and Boulder. So we wanted to just basically just keep that party going. So the event is at a place called the Exto Event Center, which we did last year.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice place.
And we've got a number of different parties planned for Friday night and Saturday night. Barrington Levy on Friday, Odd Futures Mellow Hype on Saturday, along with Nicotine and Marlon Asher. And yeah, we're just really happy. I mean, obviously, there's parties, but we're also trying to educate people. We're having a special Patient's Choice Cup for the medical marijuana centers in Colorado. And yeah, we're just excited. If people want to know a little more or if they want to get tickets, just go to medcancup.com. But tons of seminars, of which I know you are a part. And I'll be moderating a grow panel as well. And we've got some interesting different panels going on, some stuff about dabs and some stuff about, you know, local and global politics in the marijuana law reform movement. And, you know, we're excited to go back to Denver. We just had an article in our May issue
by Nico called Strongest Strains on Earth. And to our surprise and to a lot of people's surprise, you know, Denver scored really high, you know, in THC levels with their cannabis. And I mean, you know, it, you know, not just rivaling California, but actually, you know, outdoing California in some categories. So, you know, we're excited to go back there and just, you know, continue that tradition.
So, Danny, I heard that of the 400 strains tested last year, only 31 were over 20%?
Yeah, well, you know, it's Nico's article, and I think that, you know, different labs test at different strengths sometimes based on how they're calibrated. So, you know, I have heard of strains testing at, you know, 27%, but at the same time, a lot of the strains that we tested with a bunch of different laboratories, you know, we're trying to use different labs so that we can know if it's a calibration issue or what. And so basically a few of them, you know, were thrown out because every strain tested a little higher on that scale. So, you know, the technology is getting better, and we're, you know, our system of judging and rating them is getting better. So, yeah, I mean, only a few really were over 20%. And I think, you know, like I said, 31, I think, out of the, out of the 400.
Yeah, 19 were from Colorado.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty impressive. And almost all from, like, that, you know, Chem Dog,
OGs kind of thing. Yeah.
Hey, Danny, now, is there any truth to the rumor that we might be seeing a giant panda gorilla dub squad there?
Yeah, I mean, I have to talk to Morgan, who's doing the booking, but I do believe that they're one of the acts we have for that Saturday night party,
but we don't
have them on the poster, so I don't know if the ink is officially dry, but...
I heard the ink is dry on Reggie Watts, though.
Oh,
oh yeah, he's going to be there. That Friday night is going to be really cool with Reggie Watts and Barrington Levy and a lot of amazing local acts.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew this, Danny. I gave Reggie his first dab that he ever took, so I'm super excited to meet him back in Dab City.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, he's a big edibles guy, too. He loves the pot food, so we're going to definitely put a little package together for him.
That is awesome. Hey, make sure everybody you check out medcancup.com if you want information on the Medical Cannabis Cup. Ganja John will be there. I'll be there. We'll see who else we get there. But it's going to be a good time in Denver, Colorado, April 21st and 22nd. Now, we also hear in this segment, it's Cultivator's Corner. We take this chance for our live audience to ask questions of Danny Danko, the Senior Cultivation Editor for High Times. Our first question comes in from Reefer Rob, who wants to know, can I grow herb in my closet without special lights? Just plain old lights?
Well, the answer to that really is no. You definitely need some kind of specialty light, but if you're not looking to use a lot of electricity and, you know, you're just really into experimenting, then I would recommend something like a compact fluorescent, which will provide enough light to grow plants without really eating up a lot of juice or creating a lot of heat. You're not going to get the kind of monster buds that you see sometimes in the magazine, but you'll be able to, you know, flower plants and you'll be able to see that process. And it's a great way to begin to understand, you know, the vegetative cycle and the flowering cycle and things like that. So, and I think that's how most people do start, you know, is with, you know, a small, like a compact fluorescent or a bank of fluorescents if you have the space in the closet to put up a 4-foot bank of T5s. That's not going to use a lot of electricity either, and you can actually get a pretty decent harvest. So that's what I would recommend. But you can't just use the regular light bulb that's hanging in your closet or anything other than a fluorescent, an LED, or a low wattage, high intensity discharge light like a high pressure sodium or a metal halide that's like, you know, 250 watts or less, pretty much, for unless it's a big closet.
Yeah. All right. And that actually segues well into this next question from Kansas Growers, who wants to know, do you have any tips and tricks to moving an indoor plant outdoors without having it switch to flowering?
Huh. Well, I mean, when you're moving it outdoors, the key is the time that you move it outdoors, because at a certain time, it's going to automatically flower. So if it's fall or late summer, and you take a plant and put it outside, it's going to flower automatically because it's not, you know, it's getting that 12 hours or less a full sun. But if you put it out during the spring or during the early summer, it's not going to start flowering until, you know, it naturally will, you know, as the fall approaches. The other thing is, if you want to put it out and keep it from flowering during the fall, you can do that, but you just have to bring it back inside or interrupt the dark cycle with light at some point. So, you know, you can put it outside for during the day, and then you bring it inside under a grow light during when it's nighttime outside, and the plant will stay in its vegetative stage because it's getting that 18 hours of light a day or more.
Hmm. All right. We have a question from Delpart, who wants to know what you will be presenting at the panel at the Medical Cannabis Cup.
Okay, well, I have Adam from TH Seeds. I have a guy named Michael Stadler, who's a Colorado grower for many years. And I have Scott from Rare Dankness, who has just recently won Best Indica and Best Sativa to successive cups. So, you know, we're just going to talk about creating the best medicine and, you know, what it entails, how to grow the best cannabis, from the perspective of the breeders, from the perspective of growers, and, you know, various techniques. Because I like I always say, there's no one right way to grow it. So we're going to present a number of different options, and, you know, people can pick and choose hydro, soil, indoor, outdoor, greenhouse. We're going to pretty much try to touch on all those topics.
All right. And we are speaking with Danny Danko, senior cultivation editor from High Times magazine, author of the Ask Danko column in High Times, and author of numerous books on the subject. Of course, you can get a hold of Danny here. You got an email address for them, Danny, if they didn't get their question in today?
Yeah. Well, we have DearDanko at HighTimes.com, and I believe we have a free lead at HighTimes.com. If not, we'll set it up this weekend. But or just plain Dan at HighTimes.com if you want to get your question answered either in print or on the Free Weed Podcast or even on the normal show.
Yeah, and the Free Weed Podcast, for folks that don't know, you can go to HighTimes.com/freeweed, or you can listen here every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. We replay Free Weed from Danny Danko. But get the podcast, because if Danny goes past an hour, we only play the first hour, so you got to hear it all.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. It's been a lot of fun doing that, and I feel like, you know, we're starting to hit a little bit of a stride, and it's been a blast. You know, we just keep getting various guests from the community, from the growers and the activists and the performers, and, you know, I like to mix it up, so we'll have hip-hop, we'll have reggae, we'll have jam band stuff. You know, we've got David Grisman coming up on the next one, who's a mandolin player.
Wow.
So,
good friend of Jerry Garcia's.
Absolutely, yeah. We got Bob Weir actually talking about cannabis as well from the Grateful Dead as part of a conference call that we put together. So
sweet.
The next episode 19 is kind of like a Dead tribute episode.
All right. So next week we'll hear the Dead tribute episode Wednesday here on the Normal Network. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited, and we're just going to keep plugging along and doing as many of those as we can. You know, we're trying to do weekly. It's tough, but we're putting it together.
I understand completely. Hey, Danny, before we let you go, we got so many people here in the studio. I wanted to give, you know, if anyone here had a question for Danny or anything you wanted to mention, this would be the time to do it. Anybody? We're all good? All right. Well,
shout out to my posse in the studio, man. I love you guys, and I'll see you soon.
We love you too, man. And I think I've hit a stride on my garden thanks to you over the years, and that's why I don't have any questions.
There you go.
Taught us all so well. Yeah. We have no more questions.
We are the choir.
Thank you, Danny Danko, for calling in here for the Cultivator's Corner, and we will see you in Denver 421 and 422.
Absolutely. Thank you, too. And if people want more info, medcancup.com. Check out Free Weed. And thanks again, Russ, and the whole gang.
All right. We'll be back right after this with some rant on drug testing. Stick around. It's Normal Show Live.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
In terms of legalization of drugs, I think that the battle, the war on drugs has been a utter failure.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws. The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Normal Show Live, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, as longtime listeners to the show will know, the whole reason I am here working for Normal is because of my IT career, cut short by hair testing, drug testing, that is. And this has always been a subject that I pay particular attention to because of that. Well, a new report coming out from the National Work Rights Institute really has got my blood boiling. It's entitled, Latest Research Reveals New Problems with Drug Testing. The author is Lewis Maltby. And of course, when we're talking about drug testing, we understand the impact upon this. There are people that are on probation or parole or a pretrial release, and often they have to be drug tested, and if they fail a drug test, it's back to prison for them. And then, of course, people like me who are working or trying to get a job who are often drug tested, and because of the results of that drug test, are either fired or not hired, and we understand the difficulties of that. One of the problems in this debate is for so long, people have, our opponents have pointed to the drug testing laboratories, and particularly the federally certified drug testing laboratories, to try to bolster their case as to the accuracy of drug testing. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has a program to certify laboratories, as does the U.S. Department of Transportation. And so many times this has been brought up, you know, these are U.S. DOT certified labs or HHS certified labs. Of course, we need not even question their accuracy or reliability. This new white paper puts lie to those claims. The first thing that we can poke a hole in here when we talk about the federally certified drug testing laboratories is that the accuracy of these certified labs has never been tested. Never been tested. Not a single study of the accuracy of Health and Human Service certified laboratories has ever been conducted. Not one. The National Academy of Sciences and other experts have urged Health and Human Services to conduct such tests, but HHS has never done so. Nor has HHS allowed independent researchers to see its data. So we've got an agency here that is saying, oh, sure, these laboratories are perfectly fine, but no independent verification of that and no transparency to see the data that they have collected on these laboratories. The only relevant study that actually indicates these certified labs, that has tested these certified labs, has found that they're not reliable. In 2007, the government, or the General Accountability Office, the GAO, studied 23 labs that were all federally certified. Not one of those labs consistently followed the federally mandated procedures for laboratory accuracy. Not one in 23 was following the procedures. So number one, they're not even reliable. Or they maybe they are, but we don't know. It's not been tested. Number two, no mandatory standards of accuracy to be a criterion for certification. We're not even setting any sort of standard here that's required. Neither the executive order that mandates drug testing nor the Drug-Free Workplace Act contains any requirements for laboratory certification. Let me say that again. None of the laws that require drug testing have any requirements that the labs be certified. The Health and Human Services has unlimited discretion in determining whether a lab is performing well enough to be certified. And again, they're not showing us their data or allowing it to be independently certified. Now, this might not be a big problem if, you know, there was a small, tiny margin of error, right? But here's the problem. The regulations in Health and Human Services allow laboratories to make mistakes on 10% of the blind samples that are used in the certification process. 10%. 1 out of 10. Now, when they make those mistakes, they can't be false positives, right? A false positive will get them their certification junked. But false negatives can, right? So people that they're trying to stop, they're not stopping. 1 out of 10 of them, they are the blind samples they're allowed to just pass on through. And here's the other thing. When they are certified and they get over 10% and they fail, there's no time limit, no required waiting period of any kind before they can try and test again. So they can go in, send in a bunch of samples. Oh, you got 11%. Oh, okay, here's another bunch of samples. Oh, you got 11%. Oh, here's another bunch of samples. Oh, you got 11%. They can keep doing that over and over and over and over again until they pass. They could be wrong 11 times in a row. The 12th time, if they got under 10%, they'd be certified. Wouldn't it be nice if you could take your college entrance exams like that? The other thing that we've got in this white paper report, and again, this is from the National Work Rights Institute, latest research reveals new problems with drug testing. You can get a link to this on the Normal website, normal.org. We've got the hyperlink to the PDF file. You can read this for yourself. The third portion of this that is terrifying about this federal drug testing, the certification of these labs, is the errors they have demonstrated. In the last 4 years, one laboratory had its certification revoked, and three others had their certification suspended. Now, let me tell you about the lab that had its certification revoked. This lab was called SciTech Clinical Laboratories, and here's why they revoked their permit to do drug testing, you know, their federal certification for drug testing. And remember, you have to have this federal certification to do drug testing for Department of Transportation jobs, for certain federal clearances, etc., and also for federally mandated, you know, paroles, probations, and so on, right? So here's this lab, SciTech. Here's where they got busted. Here's why they lost their certification. One, they had an incompetent lab director who did not understand the procedures for equipment calibration or the procedures for confirmatory testing. Now, to kind of boil that down, what they meant is they had a guy that had no idea how to set the scales, you know, if you want to give it an analogy, right? Had no idea how to set the scales or how to confirm that they were set accurately. Number two, failed to maintain proper security for the sample storage. Right? So here's a whole bunch of vials of urine or blood or whatever, and they're just sitting around and anyone has access to them. Failure to follow quality assurance programs, again, what we put, the procedures we put into place to make sure that the chain of custody is reliable, and multiple mistakes in testing the government submitted samples in, you know, when they test these guys, right? So four major areas here where SciTech was way out of compliance and they lost their certification. However, they didn't lose their certification as soon as the government learned of these errors. No. It allowed SciTech to operate for 2 more years under this guy. How many people lost a job, didn't get a job, or were sent back to prison because this guy couldn't set the scales right and was incompetent and couldn't keep the chain of command and chain of custody going there? How many innocent people? How many people were affected by this? And of course, we know how marijuana stays in your system and is so much more detectable than all the other drugs. So really, how many pot smokers did this take out? Now, some of the other cases, the government really didn't even catch these bad labs. Remember, in 4 years, one lab revoked, three labs that were suspended, right? The three labs that were suspended, it wasn't because the government caught them. No, it was because employees who had lost their jobs because of false drug tests sued in cases like Coleman versus Town of Hempstead, ironically, and Elliott versus Laboratory Specialists, Inc. In these cases, the government didn't even know how bad these labs were until people had lost their jobs and were suing. And in one extremely alarming case, the government began parole revocation procedures based entirely upon a positive drug test from Kroll Laboratories, another government-certified lab. The defendant retained an independent expert, Dr. James Woodford, who proved the test was wrong. The evidence of the mistake was so convincing that the government admitted it was wrong and dropped the revocation proceedings. Here's a guy on parole who's done his time, who has he's on parole trying to keep his nose clean, trying to prove to the world he's done his time and served his debt to society, and they want to put him back in the cage because of his pee turning out falsely positive on a government-certified lab's drug test. Number four for this reasoning behind the inaccuracy of federal lab drug testing. The Department of Transportation has what's considered the gold standard of what your practices are, how you get your drug test samples, how they're tested, and most particularly, what the standard is for a minimum concentration of a drug or drug metabolite that you have to find before we consider it a positive. And the reason for that is because no test is perfect. So they have to find out, all right, at this level, we can pretty much guarantee, yeah, that's drugs, but below that, it might be secondhand pot smoke. It might be an herbal tea from Inca that has cocaine traces in it. It might be opiate traces from poppy seed bagels. So they can't just, you know, set it at zero. They have to come up with some level, and the Department of Transportation does this, has to come up with some level where you can reasonably say, yeah, that's drugs. That's definitely someone taking drugs, right? Now, we can argue about that part too, but at least the Department of Transportation sets these minimum levels. Well, when these companies are testing for drugs, as long as it's not a Department of Transportation related activity they're testing, they don't have to follow those minimum guidelines. They're not covered by the Department of Transportation rules, and federally certified labs can and do ignore those minimum margin of error levels. Some of these certified labs don't even have a minimum cutoff score. Any trace of drug metabolite, even a billionth of a gram, is considered a positive test. And such programs, of course, are always going to produce, or guaranteed to produce, some sort of false positive results. And finally, the chain of custody that's involved in this. There is a chain of custody where you have to sign off. Every person who's had a copy of that, or who's had that sample in their hands, we have to be able to prove in a court of law that it stayed sealed and nobody was tampering with it or wasn't mistaken or mixed up with someone else's sample. We see so many of these labs that have failed to follow that proper chain of custody. And these are people's lives that are impacted by these drug tests. And every false positive is someone losing a job or possibly losing their freedom and so much more because of inaccurate and unscientific chemistry. It's time to end this drug testing. We've gotten to the point where we have drug testing for 11-year-olds trying to play in the school orchestra. It's enough. Enough is enough. End drug testing now. We're going to talk more about this in hour two. Toker Talk Radio. Stick around. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. We got a full studio with Brian the Red, Wiz Calico, Ganja John, Cannabis Carry, Ganja Bro, Megan Debs. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.